On today's episode of Lavender Language, we're talking with Wilfred Wood, a London-based sculptor and portrait artist whose sense of humor and sharp wit infiltrates and inspires his work, creating an aesthetic unlike any other. The self-described plasticine daddy works in vibrant colors, creating funny yet specific portraits of friends, celebrities, and politicians. We sit down with Wilfred in his home, and we discuss finding a unique voice in his work, the sacrifices it can take to be a practicing artist in 2018, and the importance of malleability and adaptability in an artist's practice. We're talking with Wilfred Wood. Welcome to Lavender Language. How are you doing today?
Very nice, thank you. Summer's in London.
Summer is in London. And that's so funny, the last time I was recording one of these, spring had just sprung, and it was another hot day. And now, and again, we're in East London, and in a very, very lovely, lovely home. And we're kind of looking out at your lovely garden, and it's, there's like a butterfly fluttering about, and it's very green and full.
Yes, it's a bit overgrown, you might say.
Do you do a lot of work back there?
Yes, I love gardening. And it's, I've got a, my dad's place has got a massive garden, so that's really where I can cut down trees and chop up logs and things like that.
So, and where is that?
That's near Sussex.
In Sussex, is that where you grew up?
Yeah, that's where I grew up. And so my garden in London is more like mincing around, fiddling with little plants and chopping off half a leaf.
Yeah. Okay, but then when you get to Sussex, it's like
I let
the
rip.
Real...
Let rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let rip. I love that. So tell me about your kind of growing up. Like, how did you get started in the art world?
So growing up, which that's what the place I was just talking about in Sussex, was a very arty background. Okay. Both my parents were artists, grandparents and designers and illustrators, so
interesting.
It was kind of inevitable that I was going to do something art connected.
Did you feel a pressure to?
No, not at all. If anything, a pressure not to. But it was quite difficult coming from such a kind of informed background, in that a lot of the time at art school and subsequently I was really trying to lose a lot of assumed kind of knowledge.
Sure.
Really, I was, when I went to art school, really I was little Mr. Know-it-all. And
how old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
And it was a gradual, slow, painful process of really realizing that I didn't know it all. So it was almost unlearning things. It was quite a traditional sort of art background.
Okay, so your parents were what sort of artists?
My dad was an illustrator, a natural history illustrator, okay. And my mum a painter turned designer.
And then from that spawned you.
Yeah.
A sculptor.
Well, not originally. I was a graphic designer.
Oh, okay.
So I did that because I was trying to earn. I thought it would be easier to earn a living that way.
Sure.
And that it was a kind of sensible thing to do. Practical, applied thing to do.
What was that? One of the things you had to unlearn.
Well, I think I was too cautious. But on the other hand, I mean, I certainly was too cautious in some ways. But on the other hand, that kind of quite more less conceptual and more doing a job type of attitude that I've still got to some extent, I think completely informs my work and what I do. And if there's anything good about my work now, then that's part of it. So, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's what I was formed by, was that sort of attitude, rather than, say, a very experimental or conceptual view of art.
I feel like when you're saying that when you went to art school, you kind of had this know-it-all attitude. I mean, I didn't come from an art background whatsoever. My parents were, like, very working class. And I think when I went to school for dance, I think I went in thinking I knew it all, when in fact I didn't know anything. I knew even less than I thought I knew. And so I wonder if that's a kind of common...
Well, that's like, rather common, nice to hear.
Yeah, I think it's maybe like a common thing for someone who's just like unabashedly like going into the, like thinking that they're just full on an artist.
I
already formed it wasn't, in the know.
It wasn't quite like that. It was more that I thought there were certain ways that you should do things.
Okay.
Really, it was more like that. It was more like a bit of a stuffy sort of, rather stuck sort of attitude. Rather than being open and alive to possibilities, I thought there were certain ways you do things and that's that.
Yeah.
You know, and I expect that isn't that uncommon, as you say. But I mean, that was how, it came out of insecurity as much as anything else.
Sure.
I mean, kind of narrowing things down out of insecurity. It wasn't that I thought that I was great. It was more like I was just rather sort of dull in my outlook.
Hmm. So what do you think brought you out of that?
Well, I'm almost 50. So all what we're talking about now is a long time ago.
Sure.
Is 30 years ago that I first went to art school, just about, almost. So it's been a very... I mean, a great thing for any artist, whether you're writer or dancer or poet, is to find your own voice, really.
Sure.
And that's actually, to do that is really quite rare. I mean, and it's a very relative thing, and it's only people manage it to some extent or whatever. And I mean, it's really just a very gradual process of finding out what really excites and motivates you, and trying to lose a lot of assumed guff.
Sure. I mean, you, like you said, you had a lot of influence
from
your family. Did you find that very difficult to shed all of that influence?
Totally.
To find your voice?
Yeah, God, yeah. Yeah, that was the struggle, really.
Yeah.
Nobody's fault. I mean, it's just, that's just how the cookie crumbled, as you lot say.
We do say that. We love cookies. You guys would say biscuit, but I guess it's not the same here.
How the biscuit crumbles.
Doesn't have the same ring. When it comes to labels, like, sculptor.
Yeah.
I have sculptor here.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I mean, that's the word. I'm not sure there's such a word as a sculptist, is there?
I think I just made it up.
Oh, fine.
Wilfred Wood, sculptist.
Well, I don't mind. I like it. Do that. Maybe then it's slightly my own genre. I like sculptist.
I like that.
But normally it's sculptor.
Sculptor. Okay,
yeah.
Sculptor. Whether it's sculptor or portrait artist.
Yeah.
Gay, this or that. Do you find, like, labels to be very limiting, or do you find it interesting to kind of be able to move between them?
Well, that's always such a big thing. I mean, it's taken me ages to call myself an artist. And a lot of people, it sticks in their mouth. You can see it as they're trying to say it. So for quite a long time, I said I was a sculptor, even though it's a bit of a funny term to use for what I do, because it's people immediately think of sort of Rodin or chipping away at marble.
Yeah.
Whereas what I do is much more like squashing bits of plasticine together and things like that. But nevertheless, it is a sort of sculpture.
Well, explain to us what your art is like?
It's nearly all portraits. So you could say I'm a portraitist. If there's such a word as that.
A portraitism.
Yeah. So, there's something a little tiny bit precious about the word, but to me, mm-hmm. but it's quite nicely open. And really, because I've been doing a lot of drawing recently rather than sculpture, mm-hmm. I do think of what I do is portraits, and I'm slightly loosening my ties to it having to be a 3D sculpture. So I'm doing lots of drawing and I really want to start painting. And I haven't done any sculpture for about a month.
Okay.
And that's really unusual for me.
But that's what you teach. Workshops. You lead workshops?
I lead workshops, okay. But teaching, and again, that's very loosely.
Okay.
I mean, for workshops, all I do really is order the plasticine and turn up. Okay. And I have 20, I did one on the weekend, say 20 mm-hmm. people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically say, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Just draw the first of all, draw the person you want to sculpt.
How important is it to you when you're creating a sculpt?
Sure.
A sculpture that it looks a lot like the person you're sculpting, or...
Well, to me, it's...
That it's beautiful, or if it's funny.
Well, I would like it to be all those things, but it is very important that it looks like the person,
okay.
That it's a portrait of the person. I was reading recently a book with various quotes from Lucian Freud, and he said it doesn't matter at all if the portrait doesn't look like the person that you're sculpting or drawing, because nobody's going to know who they are in 200 years. It's just the portrait of it with its own intrinsic merits that are in the important thing. But I see his point, but I can't think like that. And I think it's a bit ridiculous. And he might be, you famously can't trust what artists say about their own work. And I think he might have been pulling the leg of the interviewer because, he clearly tries to be very specific about who he's drawing or painting.
Well, and we know what he looks like.
What?
And we know what he looks like.
He looks like Lucian Freud. Yeah, but I'm talking about the portraits he does of people in general.
But I mean, I think we will know what people look like who they were and what they looked like in 200 years. And so I think...
Well, in his case, we made more because he painted and drew famous people.
Well, that's what you're doing as well.
No, I'm not. I do, like, a lot of drawings I do.
Oh, sure, of course.
A lot of portraits I do they're... are of so-called ordinary people.
Sure.
Now, who may not be known in 200 years. I'm talking about things as if I'm a world-class artist. I mean, almost certainly, my work will basically disappear without a trace. And I'm not, mm-hmm. that's not being me being modest. I mean,
sure.
Almost certainly it will, unless I have the most amazing breakthrough. But someone like Lucian Freud is a massive figure.
Mm-hmm.
So almost everyone he portrays will be, immortalized in time because he's painted them or drawn them. Simple as that. But you get my point.
I do.
Yeah.
So why do you continue creating?
Well,
because that is a very daunting thing to kind of think about, especially like myself as an artist. I mean, you create because you hope that eventually it'll affect somebody, and that in itself will kind of be lasting of
yes.
some sorts. But to think that actually, in fact, like we can't all be, I'm going to say Sigmund Freud and Lucian Freud. We can't all be Lucian Freud. That's totally true.
Well, I know. I mean, it's...
But you're very aware of that.
Well, anyone who's got any objectivity about themselves
sure.
would have to be aware of that, especially as an artist. So, of course, you live a sort... You sort of trick yourself in a way, when I'm working, I think this might be the best thing ever. And it might knock Lucian Freud off his perch.
Yeah.
But of course it won't. But you imagine as a sort of fantasy that you're doing something terrific sometimes. But you know, you have to be well aware that if you stand back, that one will probably be regarded as a second-rate artist at best. But that's you obviously can't dwell on that, because it just get you down like mad, and you wouldn't get up in the morning. So,
right.
You know, that's a really a question about life as much as art, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we all have great hopes, I think. I mean, you certainly have to. There's another quote about Francis Bacon, but this is more sort of an existential quote. But he said, "I'm optimistic about nothing." So it's a kind of contrary quote. But
sure.
Any artist has to be optimistic and hope for the best and think the next drawing or painting they're going to do is going to be terrific.
Right. Of course. Because...
Yeah, because that drives you forward. Does that answer your question? Well, you basically said, why do I work at all?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it's also because it's fascinating and is an occupation.
Sure.
If you're an artist, that's what you have to keep doing it.
When I was referring to you sculpting famous people, you do sometimes, occasionally, I was referring to the very occasional portrait of the likes of Kylie Minogue and Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, yeah.
Kim Kardashian.
Sure. No, I'm sorry. I do
Mary
quite
Berry,
a lot of
which
them.
Is so incredibly creepy and hilarious.
Ah, good.
I mean, all of them have this very... I think one time I read an article of yours, an interview with you, and I think you said, well, you don't ever try to make things funny. That's not your... Like, you're not trying to make it funny, but if it happens to be, then, like, great.
Well, I mean, what I probably meant was that I try not to focus on being funny.
Uh-huh.
I think it's better if that kind of bubbles away at the side.
Sure.
If I was doing overtly hilarious sculptures of people, they'd just be a one note, you know, one level sculpture, which is basically boring. And nearly all good art obviously works on different levels, and that's how you want it to work.
Going back to labels, do you recognize a queerness in your work? Is that something that's important to you? Or that LGBT queer folks can identify in your work?
Well, over the last few years, I've been in a couple of gay shows, so to speak,
uh-huh.
And it's been rather nice. And I've suddenly thought, gosh, I've got a bit of an audience here who might like what I do, as opposed to, you know, it's a little bit of a captive audience who are probably going to be into it a bit. So that's been quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't aim my work two or four gay people,
mm-hmm.
at all. It's just that I, you know, it's naturally a part of what I do. But I think I wouldn't like someone to look at my work. Well, I wouldn't mind that much, but I wouldn't like them to be able to immediately say, ooh, he's gay,
mm-hmm.
just looking at one or two sculptures. If they looked at the whole lot, they'd
sure.
probably think, bounce of probabilities, I bet he is.
Possibly, yeah. What sort of challenges arise in your process?
You're talking about ideas or techniques?
Either.
Well, I studied graphic design at college, so I'm not trained at all as a sculptor. So I'm winging it, really, most of the time. And sculptures go wrong a lot, easily and a lot, and can be very annoying with things collapsing or thicknesses of materials causing things to crack and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of those sort of irritating technical challenges. Do you know the sculptor Ron Muick? He does very, very hyper-realistic, different-scaled, incredible sculptures of, like, huge babies or tiny little old ladies. He did a famous sculpture called Dead Dad.
No.
Of his naked dead dad, about sort of half size. Anyway, they're amazing things, but they're super technical.
Okay.
And I know him a little bit, and he said, he just laughed at my total disinterest and lack of technical expertise, because I really avoid anything like that, anything complicated or difficult. So plasticine's ideal for me, because you don't have to, it's completely non-technical, and you can just get on with it.
Sure. In terms of creating the ideal environment for yourself, what does that take? What do you need?
Just the basic, obvious stuff. I've got a studio in Hackney Wick,
okay,
which is very nice, which is, you know, sort of quiet but not too quiet. There's
mm-hmm.
people around, which is nice, and I've got enough space, and it's ideal, really.
You need quiet.
Well, you know, only like anyone working. I mean, not sure. Massively, just what anyone would like for. I don't have very specific requirements, really.
Do you listen to music?
Yeah.
What sort of music do you listen to?
Oh God! Well, I just use music as a kind of like a drug, I think, really.
Mm-hmm.
So to smooth things out, to invigorate me, to move me. I realize that's what I do, really.
Mm.
You know, I have to force myself to listen to the radio if it's music, because I do not like listening to music that I don't like. If that makes
sure.
any sense.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank God for Spotify.
Yeah, because I don't use Spotify.
What do you use?
I just use iPod. I'm just totally old-fashioned. I still buy music.
I. No, I do too.
And that's all I listen to. So that's just the habit of a lifetime. I know. I'd definitely rather have a small amount of great music rather than loads of mediocre music. That's one of the problems with, you know, Spotify and music being so accessible.
Sure. Do you listen to the same things?
Yeah, yeah.
Often.
Well, God, I've been listening to the same things for the last 35 years.
Like what?
Like the Smiths or Talking Heads or something like that.
And what's your favourite Smiths album?
Album?
Sure.
Ooh.
Song. Okay, good. Give me three songs.
Three songs?
You get three.
Of this, by the Smiths?
Yeah.
Gee. Girl Afraid.
Okay.
Handsome Devil. Gene.
Okay. I was hoping...
For singles.
Oh, wait. Are those singles?
No.
Oh, those are like...
You were hoping for famous singles.
I was hoping that I would know one of those.
No, I was on purposely showing off about my Smith knowledge by choosing fairly obscure tracks.
Are you impressed? Audience, are you impressed? I'll put a little clip in of one of those.
Oh, do? Yeah, great.
Why not?
It'd be like Desert Island Discs. I've always... I'm constantly compiling my...
Just in case.
My numbers for Desert Island Discs.
Oh, so
yeah.
Do I. I'm nobody. I can't wait till I get to meet Kirsty Young. She's my icon.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's so good. How do you deal with the process of collaboration? Do you collaborate with people? Do you collaborate with brands? Do people hire you?
Well, I mean, that's two different things. There's getting commissioned,
sure,
which is not what I call collaboration.
No.
That's getting a job.
Sure.
So, yeah, I get jobs. I used to get far more, very little anymore, of, like, advertising, editorial, things like that. So that's just getting it. That's someone saying, can you make such and such a person to go on such an advert or magazine cover or something like that? So that's fine.
Was that by choice? Were you kind of just leaning away from it?
Away from it? No, not really. I mean, I might have been slightly sort of subconsciously in my work, in that it's possibly got a little bit less sort of bubblegum friendly,
mm-hmm,
over the years. So I've possibly leaned away from it in that sort of way. But the amount... CGI, of course, is used all the time for things like adverts. And you could get very close to what I do. Somebody could... And it would be much more flexible if it's on the computer. And I take too long. So though that isn't in my favour, I think... there are just sort of cycles for things, and people probably want new things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. What I get now when I get commissioned is more to do someone's mum or kid or boyfriend or girlfriend or something like that. So the private commissions, mm-hmm. and that's really nice.
Sure, but not collaboration.
That's not what I call a collaboration.
No, I wouldn't either. Actually, I would call it
commission. Yeah.
Collaboration. Do you?
Barely. I very much work on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't ever employ anyone or get anyone to do anything. So it's basically just me and my studio. I don't know how I would collaborate, really. I mean, if somebody whose work I absolutely loved came to me and said, what are we going to do, two halves of a sculpture or something? I don't think that would work. I don't know, I'm going to start something and they're going to finish it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you do it, really. If it's not collaboration, but being part of a group show.
Yes.
That's lovely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Unless you're surrounded by crap or think you're going to be. You know, that's awful. But in that sort of sense, I'm very open to it.
Sure. What is some light you can shed on a career in the art world? For someone just starting out?
Well, that's just an absolutely massive sort of a question. I'm in a bit of a funny position in that I started off at one end of the art world and then ended up in a different spot, which gives me a bit of knowledge of both, but also I don't feel I've ever been 100% in either camp. So... I mean, if you're talking about the illustration, graphic, commercial world, so in inverted commas, I think that world makes much more sense, and is much you can see what people are doing, understand it, and get paid for it. In the fine art world, the real fine art world, it's nuts. People are absolutely impossible and weird and treat you weirdly, and it's super snobbish and just generally much more slippery and difficult.
How do you navigate that?
Well, I don't really. I'm not really part of it. I just do my work. I talk to people on Instagram, ordinary people on Instagram who might commission something. And I'm having a show in a couple of months. And I've just organised that myself. So I don't have a gallery or anything like that. I've got an agent for if my work is used commercially. And that's they're very good and that's very nice. But... I'm not really part of the fine art world as it stands today. If I had a gallery or something like that, I might have to dip my toe in a bit further. But I'm not mad to get into it, really, because I think it bends people around and I really like to have as little pressure. I'm not very good under pressure. As little pressure as possible.
How important do you think malleability is? In an artist's career or in an artist's sense of self adaptability?
Gosh, that's a difficult question. I mean, obviously, in the modern world, things are changing very, very fast. So it's very good to be malleable. But, of course, on the other side of that, is you don't want to just second guess what your fans might like and keep changing in a desperately scrabbling around attempt to be fashionable. Say you want to retain a solid core of who you are and what you do. So I think like a lot of these sort of things, it's basically you need both. You need to retain a sense of self, but not so doggedly that you render yourself obsolete.
What's some advice you can give to an artist who's struggling to make time for the practice? Obviously, you're at a place in your career where you have a studio,
mm.
and this is what you do for a living.
Mm. I don't have that any of that sort of advice, really. I mean, it's pure. Either you want to, either you will make time to do it because you're mad on it, or you won't. I mean, don't have a family, don't have a partner, don't have a family. Steal. You know, whatever
yeah.
you need to do. These are all part of life's sacrifices. Or, I mean, I've got so many of my friends have got kids and families and stuff, and obviously that takes up a massive amount of time. I have the luxury of not having that, but also all that I may die a lonely old man, but I don't have a family to absorb my money and time and attention. But obviously, anyone who really wants to be an artist will just get on with it. And great that a lot of people don't want to be and spat out the system because there's already too many artists.
I think that's good advice. I think it is. I think sometimes people like to be coddled. People want to be given all the answers to everything. But in actuality,
none of that exists.
Yeah, you actually need to hear it. And it's either you do it or you don't.
Yeah, entirely. I mean, I'm a big fan of getting on with it.
Sure.
And not sort of thinking about it too much. When the tiny bit of teaching I've done at art schools, I've got no time for people saying, I was going to do this and I want to do that and how about doing this. It's just nonsense. You just want to see the thing and then go from there.
Sure.
So getting on with it is just key.
In your medium, in the medium that you work in, how do you keep the momentum of your career going?
I think it's really just always longing to prove myself and to hope to one day do something decent. I mean, it's insecurity, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like never feeling that you've done it well enough or that. And it's wanting to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably the absolute root of it. It's all of those things.
My next question was going to be, when did you hit your stride in your career? But I'm going to ask you if you feel like you have yet.
Well, that's a nice question. Well, I think that I can say that I feel like I have to some degree,
mm-hmm.
which is a really nice thing to say.
Mm.
Basically, because most of the time I fairly much do what I want, with a lot of reservations of it. It could be like this. Or I wish it was like that. Blah 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 blah. But actually, at the moment, I'm doing loads of drawings, portrait drawings of people, big portrait drawings. And I'm going to have a show. So people come to me from Instagram or friends or whoever, turn up and I draw them. And it's really interesting. Very nice to meet people. And I think I'm doing a few good drawings. So that's lovely. And I'm really glad to be able to say that. Almost 50. You know, I certainly, I don't feel... One thing I can say for myself is that I don't feel at all stuck or bored of what I'm doing. I'm really into it. So that's very nice. I can say that with a full heart. But I think that has probably taken an awful lot of time to get to that position. And of course, you know, there's loads of things that I would still be full of doubt about.
How do you define success for yourself?
Well, it's a combination of things. I think it is doing work that I think that I'm pleased with, simple as that, and then it being appreciated by others. I mean, basically, if someone that I value, I hold in high esteem, likes my work, that's great. Simple as that. It's what is me thinking my work's good, and a few other people that I respect thinking my work's good. That's basically it. And then, of course, you know, obviously there are financial things. It's very nice to be able to survive from your work.
Sure.
And have a nice show, say. All of those things add to it, to feeling okay about oneself or the direction one's going in.
You sound very optimistic about where you are in your career right now. I think you're correct. I mean, I love what you do. But do you feel like this feeling is like a constant state, or do you think it's more of like an ebb and flow? Do you think like some days you'll feel it more than others, or maybe like this year you'll feel it and next year you just...
Oh, I definitely feel it more sometimes than others. I think that I'm right at the best I feel about things at the moment, because I'm doing something relatively new, which is all this drawing. Mm. Plus I've got a goal, which is a show in a couple of months. No doubt after this show, I'll be utterly miserable and dejected and wondering why everything's such a failure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Who are some of your role models? Do you have anybody that you've modeled your career after, or?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely no. Of course, there's loads of artists I admire.
Sure.
But no, not at all. I don't see how that would be possible.
I guess, in a sense, sometimes you not really model your career after, but you kind of just see how they've gotten to where they got, where they went. And then you figure it out and you kind of...
No. Because I haven't really got anywhere. In many ways... You know, I haven't had a show in a prestigious gallery at all.
Is that one of your goals?
Well, it'd be very nice. Yeah. But I haven't... Almost my entire success, if there is any success, is based on I've got a reasonable amount of Instagram followers. Literally. That's just about it.
What sort of role does social media play into your career?
Well, it's very important, and that basically means Instagram. So, I mean, it seems like such a flimsy and transient, thin thing to hold on to, but really, I get work through it, I meet people to draw through it, I buy work sometimes through it. It's like the portal through which everything flows. Really. So I take it seriously.
I would say mostly that who you are, your persona, is almost absent from your social media presence.
Would you?
I would say that your work is very present, and I would know your work as an artist.
Right.
But I wouldn't know who Wilfred Wood is. I wouldn't know if he like loves listening to this music or he.
But would you know that? Would you know? Do you know more about various other artists on social media than me?
What I mean to say is that I think more people find it necessary to put their kind of everyday life out there.
Artists? Are you sure? Or are you just talking about people who put photographs of their breakfast up?
I think artists do that too.
Do they?
I feel like they do, yeah.
I do it a tiny bit. No?
What I'm saying is, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I do. I'm just surprised if I'm much different from anyone else.
I think so.
In terms of being an artist. I mean, obviously, my social media is entirely about... Well, it's really work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is work.
So what I'm saying is that I think it's quite impressive that you do have so many Instagram followers, because it is just your work. And a lot of times
good,
people
but,
have to kind of...
Yeah, but don't you think I'd start losing followers? Don't you think I'd start losing followers if I put photographs of my breakfast up?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think people do also get famous off of that.
Well, I don't think any serious artists get...
No, definitely not.
..get anywhere from putting photographs of their breakfast up. It's just a mistake.
Yeah. Well, it's just that you're getting a different audience.
Yeah, you are. And not an audience that is really engaged or thinking about anything at all. I mean, I know probably 3/4 of my Instagram followers are pretty brief in their engagement with what I do. But maybe they spend, you know, 1 second more on each image than it would be if it was a photograph of toast.
What are some more abstract inspirations that you have? Is there, like, you know, I mean, I'm meaning this in kind of more of a romantic way, but, like, you know, the way that the light comes in into your house or...
Well, I really love all that sort of thing. Yeah.
Do you think that feeds your process?
I think it probably does in a sort of a way, but I do, I very much make sculptures or drawings that are individual things in their own right. They're not at all site specific. But if I do see light falling in a certain way on a certain sculpture at a certain time of day, then that can be really nice. And the great thing about sculpture is that it's very... You know, you can photograph it in all sorts of different situations and lighting conditions, so you can get all sorts of different moods from the same piece. But, a nice, interesting environment is an important thing.
What sort of environment do you see your work in?
Well, if people are commissioning me to make a portrait of their dad, it probably ends up on a mantelpiece somewhere. I mean, that in someone's home, there's that. There's in a gallery where I had a show a couple of years ago in Berlin, in a lovely gallery that was just a plain concrete kind of space with a few nice plinths and a nice floor. And the work absolutely spoke for itself in that sort of environment. That was really nice.
Where can we find you? What is your Instagram handle?
Wilfred Wood Sculptor.
And do you have a website?
Yeah, but it's so out of date and crap, I wouldn't recommend going to look at it.
Fair enough. Wilfred Wood Sculptor.
Yeah.
Not Sculptus, but...
No.
Hang on tight, we might change it to that after this recording. Thank you so much, Wilfred.
That's all right.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me into your home.
No problem.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Lavender Language, hosted by me, Adrian Ramirez, sound by Edmund Shaw, and produced by Tawny Cadrez. You can find us online on Instagram at Lavender Language or lavenderlanguage.com. And don't forget to subscribe. See you next time.